From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The Senate today is due to vote on a $1.1 trillion year-end spending bill. Included in the mammoth package, an increase in federal salaries and more than 5,000 pet projects for congressional districts. NPR's John Burnett reports.
If it's approved Sunday as expected, it will keep the federal government operating, plus increase the budgets of federal agencies and programs an average of 10%. Among the beneficiaries, the FBI, NASA, veterans programs, car dealers, and federal workers. The House of Representatives passed the budget on Thursday with no Republicans voting for it. Republicans complain the measure spends way too much at a time when the nation's total debt tops $12 trillion. Democrats respond that the measure restores funding cut under President Bush. Next, lawmakers tackle an even larger spending bill, the Pentagon's $600 billion budget. President Obama must sign the federal budget by December 18. John Burnett, NPR News.
Houston, Texas has become the first major American city to elect an openly gay mayor. Democrat Anise Parker won Saturday's hotly contested runoff election. Parker did not make sexual orientation part of her campaign, but in her victory speech carried on KTRK-TV, she said Houston voters made history.
This election has changed the world for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community.
Parker won the election against Gene Locke, who also didn't mention her sexuality in his campaign. Still, anti-gay activists tried to turn the election into a referendum on gay rights. Britain's Prime Minister Gordon Brown paid an overnight visit to Afghanistan, staying at the British base in Kandahar. It's the first time a British leader has stayed the night in Afghanistan or in Iraq since the wars began. Brown delivered a Christmas message for his troops and held meetings with Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Larry Miller has more from London.
The Brown-Karzai relationship has become strained, and their meeting at the British base was a show of unity. Brown said they had the best of relations. Karzai said he's honored to call Brown a friend. Brown recently questioned the Afghan commitment to the war and official corruption. Karzai described those comments as very unfortunate and extremely insulting. However, as the cameras rolled in Kandahar, the two men put aside their differences and surveyed the troops. Brown needs something tangible to show for British support of the war effort. He's hosting an international conference on Afghanistan next month, where Karzai will report on progress being made by his government and forces. Brown is also preparing for an election early next year, and the war is becoming increasingly unpopular. Brown said the next few months of the war will be critical. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
This is NPR News from Washington. Officials in the southern Philippines say gunmen have freed more than 40 hostages they'd been holding for 3 days. In exchange, government negotiators agreed not to arrest them for the abductions or for past murder charges. The World Health Organization warns there's no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke and reports it kills hundreds of thousands of people every year. And WHO is urging governments to take further action to protect their people from passive smoke. Lisa Schlein has details from Geneva.
WHO says slight progress is being made in the battle against passive smoking. In 2008, WHO expert Amanda Poruga says 362 million people were legally protected from tobacco smoking in restaurants, bars, and other indoor public places. That's 154 million more than the previous year.
Progress has been made on smoke-free policies, yet more than 90% of the people worldwide are still not protected from the dangers of secondhand tobacco smoke exposure.
Peruga says secondhand smoke causes 600,000 deaths every year. WHO calls tobacco use the leading preventable cause of death, killing more than 5 million people prematurely every year. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Rescue teams are preparing to search Oregon's Mount Hood for two of three climbers that are missing. Yesterday, they discovered the body of one of the climbers. All started their trek up the mountain early Friday and were supposed to return that afternoon. Authorities say all three climbers in their mid-20s were experienced and well-equipped. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.